Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Life Powerfully with your co-hosts Raj Shell and Dr. Perletta Ramos, where our conversations engage and inspire you to stand in your power, express your passion, and live your purpose.
Hello there. My name is Perletta Ramos, and I want to introduce today's topic, which is inspired by the craziness of our presidential elections, which are taking place, which has heightened the awareness, not just of myself and Raj, but many people who are commentating on the craziness that's happening in the world today. I want to provide a passage from Beyond Religion, Ethics for a Whole World, that the Dalai Lama presents. And he says, how people treat their fellow human beings, and indeed the world around them, largely depends on how they conceive of themselves. And I have to say, you know, in this conversation that we're going to have today about man's inhumanity to man and the role of our taking personal responsibility for ourselves and the world, really conjures up for me this conversation about, you know, how we treat each other is just, you know, it can go from a negative place to a very beautiful place. There's such a depth of our humanity in that way. What do you say, Raj? It's amazing.
Yes. I there's a lot going on in the world, but, you know, just before we got on the air, I was telling you about the young generation, and sometimes I get concerned. I feel like they're not involved. I feel like they're just doing their thing. They're asleep, but I spoke at U of M, this University of Michigan, this weekend, and I was very encouraged to see the young folks, that they are really very aware and they're really taking a lot of interest. So, and they're very proactive. So I'm very encouraged by that.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Raj, because there's a way to look at what's happening. And what's happening from my perspective is there's a lot of protesting about so many different issues, you know, around the country Trump is getting a lot of attention related to, you know, the comments that he's making. So there are pro-Trump supporters, and then there are anti-Trump supporters, and they're starting to clash and become violent. And so it's brought to the forefront for me these questions regarding the role that each of us has to engage socially, right, to engage politically, to do it in a way that does not inhibit someone else, because at that point that it does, I think it stops being peaceful and productive, and it something else emerges. And so this question about humanity and being being engaged and being peaceful has arisen, not just for me, but as I mentioned, social commentators are having this conversation, like, what's happened? We seem to, as a people, not just in the United States, but around the world, there are so many different conflicts happening that can turn into wars. You know, there's on some level, I think the greatest threat that we face is man's inhumanity to man. That's one of the greatest threats that we have. And why is that? You know, how can we go from peaceful protest to violence, you know, in a matter of seconds? It's just been fascinating and in some ways for some people terrifying to watch. And I think a part of it has been because, go ahead.
Well, you know, like Shakespeare said, there's neither good nor bad, but thinking makes it so. And I think it's very damaging to start to think of these things as bad. And Perletta, like you said, you know, it's going to wake people up. It's going to allow all of us to become a part of the process, because many of us have become complacent and thought that we were powerless to do anything. So I just don't like to think of it as, oh, this is really bad. You know, oh, I think this is just part of, it's always been like this. If we go back in history, I mean, history is just repeating itself again. So so I don't think that we need to necessarily allow it to incite us internally, if you know what I'm saying. Like disturb our peace. we really have to be careful, right, that it doesn't disturb our own peace.
Well, that's the point. It is disturbing peace, Raj, all over the country. People's peace is being disturbed. And so this conversation about, like, why are people so fearful and angry? I've been watching Facebook posts of people, you know, friends who are supporters, just using Trump as the example since he's been dominating the news. And I engaged one of my friends, like, what is it? What are you so angry about? And I think that's at the heart of it. There's a lot of anger and fear that's dominating the conversation. And you're right. It's not like this is something new. It's not. Which is also, from my perspective, I don't want to characterize it as bad. She said it's not. You know, I hear what you're saying, but on some level, I think this consistent dissatisfaction and anger and frustration that people have, where then they start blaming other people for their, you know, for their condition or for their anger and frustration, it is a problem. And I don't, and it's not endemic to just what's happening politically now. I think it's a problem with how we see ourselves. And whether we take responsibility for our anger and our frustration, or whether we blame others for that, because if we look outside of ourselves as to others as the fault, and then we look outside of ourselves to others as being at cause for the solution, and for me, that's where the problem lies.
And you're absolutely right.
Quite often we don't focus on ourselves. And so to people who are on Facebook, I keep engaging myself in these conversations, and I probably should stop it. But I ask them, why are you so angry? And then they talk about the issues, you know, the need for a wall and on the Mexico and American border and the immigration problem and, the governmental waste. And they talk about all of these problems, quote unquote, outside of themselves. And so often we do that. It's like these material aspects of life that we center our conversation on that causes all of this frustration. And whereas if we focus on who we're being at the cause of the matter, right, healing our own anger and frustration, we wouldn't have such high levels of conflict. And so what can we do to address that? That's the question of today. How can we take personal responsibility for that so that it doesn't disturb our peace, like you mentioned?
Mm-hmm.
So this idea of turning toward a deeper conversation concerning our own qualities and values of compassion and love can heal our tendency to demonstrate this inhumanity. Today is Monday, March 21st, and tomorrow is the party election in Arizona. And there was a lot of news coverage over the weekend because there were anti-Trump protesters who blocked the access, vehicle access, to a Trump rally. And, you know, people were standing up saying that was a great thing that they blocked the access. And I thought, not really. You know, it's so funny how I think when we take responsibility, it's also sometimes taking responsibility out there. I'm going to go stop someone else from doing what they think is best because I disagree with them. It's a backwards conversation from my perspective. And so this idea of taking responsibility is both personal, right? It is both engaging in looking at ways of changing myself so that then I can also engage in changing the world in a positive way. And so how can we do that in terms of creating peace and healing ourselves is a very preliminary question. And I think it's very challenging when we're angry, because when we're angry and fearful and frustrated and anxious, the first thing many times we want to do is to lash out. And it feels powerful to, you know, stop someone else from doing something or to blame someone else for our condition, or to, you know, that all of that can be helpful in terms of the social action that you talked about in terms of young people, if it's channeled in a way that doesn't make anyone else wrong either, you know, that doesn't criminalize someone else's behavior, like attending a rally, for example. So what I'm really focused on in the conversation is taking responsibility and looking inward for ways to create peace, and then from that place, looking outward to heal the world. So, Raj, you mentioned attending this event over the past weekend and being inspired by the young people. What were you inspired by? What were they doing? How were they being?
Well, first of all, I think they're taking things as they are. They're not, you know, they're looking at the bigger perspective. They're taking history into account. They're taking what's happening in our world and not getting carried away with it, because, you know, that's what our mind does. Our mind will take something and just get carried away with it, create a lot of stories around it, and that's one of the reasons why our peace gets disturbed so easily, because there's no, you know, there's no spaciousness within our mind. We have all, it's full of all these thoughts and BS. And by BS, I mean belief systems, okay? It's just
I'm filled. I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we're so filled up with all of these things, and we tend to take something that's happening on the outside and just really bringing it in, and we're already filled up with so many things that we just cannot deal with, you know, with what's going on the outside in a rational way. I think we become irrational. And I think at
Absolutely.
That point, we're no good. We're no good to the situation because we can't
Absolutely.
Be appropriate. We can't be objective. So what I was really taken back by these younger people, the students, was was their ability to keep the bigger picture in mind, which I thought was wonderful.
Well, you raised two very good points, and that is the irrationality that can spiral out of control, as well as the emotionality. And so part of, you know, starting with the self and going inward is taking responsibility for your thoughts and your emotions. And what does that really mean? And, you know, taking responsibility for your thoughts and emotions, it means being aware of what your thoughts and emotions are and not necessarily acting immediately from the place of emotion. You know, it's, you know, the idea of protesting and the purpose that it serves is that's actually quite beautiful. It, you know, standing up against, you know, power structures helps to create balance as long as it's done in a way that doesn't incite violence. And it's a thin line, or it can be. And so this, nobody has to be wrong in the when I say nobody has to be wrong, disagreement and the discourse, but that the point that it becomes dangerous and I think irrational and overly emotional is when people are screaming at each other because they're not listening, and then when people become violent as a result of the disagreement. Not only is it irrational and emotional, but it's harmful, and nothing progressive or positive necessarily occurs as a result of it. And so in order to help to have some discourse where people can engage in a way that can further along the conversation, it takes some practicing some restraint, right, from harming myself and harming others in both our thoughts and our actions. You know, training the mind is not an easy process. I'm not sure we actually think of it that way. But when you're wanting to fight one another because we disagree. Like sometimes we disagree, Raj. Quite often, actually, on the show, we do agree. But in life, we've known each other quite a long time. If we disagree, I don't think we've ever escalated to the point of being violent or, you know, maybe a little emotional. So, you know, and sometimes in our personal relationships, it can be really challenging, you know, to practice that. But if we start somewhere, like in our family lives or in our work situations, we can take it out into the world and also engage in the same behavior that can promote peace and promote engagement in a positive way. So this idea of practice... Go ahead.
Perletta, you know, I just want to add something here is, you know, A Course in Miracles, it says you are never upset for the reason that you think.
Mm-hmm.
So these people that are, like, really getting into these skirmishes and these fights and, you know, as they're protesting, and I just wonder, you know, are they really upset because that's what they're upset about? I think they may be already upset even before they get there. Now there is just an opportunity to show their aggression and their, you know, their frustration over other things going on. So I think that it's really important to ask yourself, you know, what am I really upset about? Because that's what we've lost touch with.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people can so easily be inflamed.
To a degree, there's a sense of helplessness, I think, particularly with the government and making changes. You know, people feel as though no matter, there's apathy, no matter who is put into a place of power and leadership over the country, for example, kind of people don't feel like they have direct access to leadership. And, you know, and so there's anger and frustration that builds up over that, you know, a feeling of helplessness. And sometimes we engage in that, for, you know, we engage in the experience of helplessness by becoming emotional. And I don't mean emotional in a negative way. I mean, it's okay to have emotion. It's really a challenge, channel that emotion in the way to create constructive change. So I agree with the comment that you made, because I love the Course in Miracles anyway, but you were not really upset for the reason that we think. You know, when we focus externally, we may say it's system or this or that person, but when we focus internally, it may just be, I feel helpless, and I'm angry because I don't know what to do about that, or, you know, whatever the example may be. So practicing restraint, actually, from harming yourself and others is very much key to going into a deeper level conversation with yourself, because you're not automatically going to respond by, you know, engaging someone else or respond by being violent or angry and projecting that onto someone else if you sit with and ponder the question for yourself. The next thing is this idea of committing to being nonviolent by in part dealing with your own emotion, regardless of what the emotion is. You know, the Dalai Lama, Martin Luther King, and others had this to be as a key component of their commitment to social action and change. It was nonviolent. And why is that? Why do you think that was the case, Raj?
Well, first of all, you know, I just want to mention, you know, the listeners that are on with us, they probably are not violent. The people that are violent probably aren't listening to this show.
I disagree. I completely disagree. I think we all have, every human being has a propensity to experience a full range of emotion. Violence doesn't necessarily mean that we're shouting and screaming or hitting one another. Violence can mean thoughts of unlove and judgment and not being kind. You know, there are degrees of that.
Right. No, I was talking along because, you know, we were talking about the protesting and all that kind of stuff. So I'm just saying, you know, that kind of violence, that outwardly expressed kind of violence, is probably, you know, not something that probably that, I mean, I don't have to worry about that for myself, because that's not even an option for me ever.
Mm-hmm.
Other than maybe if somebody's threatening my life or something like that, you know, then I don't know what will happen, but then I'm not responsible. but you know, if if any other sort of, but yeah, the kind of violence you're talking about, the nonviolence is not even against yourself, right? The way your thoughts, and that's at that very sensitive level. But yeah, we have to, again, it's getting back to being clear, being back to, realizing yourself, who you are, where you stand on issues, expressing emotion when it's appropriate, you know, not suppressing it, not being aggressive. And I mean, all of that, you know, like taking that responsibility, being accountable for yourself. I think that's key.
So you've raised an interesting point for me, and that is I think I do sometimes have a propensity to become angry in certain situations, particularly when I'm standing on my own moral ground of feeling justified or that I'm right. And so here's an example. I've been working to bring some programming to an organization that I'm involved with. And there are about 100 or so, 150 attendees at our weekly meetings. And I want to talk about police brutality. So I've joined the program committee for the organization, and I presented to them this idea of engaging in more meaningful conversation about social issues that impact us all. And I received some resistance. People don't believe that police brutality exists, for example. People believe that that the police should have free reign, just differences of opinion. And sometimes I can think, oh, I have the quote-unquote right or more balanced way of thinking. And as I've been engaging in dialogue and people have been responding, not in a positive way, I have found myself getting angry because they quote-unquote disagree with me. And so it's been a very interesting lesson for me to face folks who not just disagree, but vehemently disagree and don't even want to engage in a conversation. So it's had me to really look at ways in which I'm incited, not necessarily to violence physically, but to violence mentally, you know, making the person wrong, damning them in my mind, automatically jumping to conclusions about who they are and how they must be. I've had to look at myself in that situation, which leads to the third thing that I wanted to talk about, which is developing a deep awareness through being mindful. And so in this process that I've mentioned in this example, which is a true life example, I've been looking at, wow, look at these thoughts that form in my mind when I've engaged on this very simple topic. Now, over time, the program is going to be brought, but I had to compromise on the title of the program, on the structure of the program, because there are some people who feel uncomfortable with talking about, quote-unquote, police brutality in a very open way. And so this idea about, you know, engaging in peaceful actions, I've had to work on at more subtle levels in order to bring about some civil, which is my intention, some civil discourse on issues that people can get very emotional about very quickly. And did you have a thought about that, Raj?
I mean, people, you know, it's hard to predict when people are going to get emotional about what, because a lot of it is coming from, you know, they're being triggered by something, right?
Absolutely.
They're being, I mean, it's coming from the subconscious mind, because I'm sure the people that are out there, you know, creating this environment that is not helpful, I mean, the protesters, the ones that are fighting, and I'm sure that they didn't know that they were going to be doing this. They just saw this opportunity, they're triggered, and now they're just going to act on it. So it's, to me, it's really difficult sometimes, because when things are calm, You know, people don't even think about it. It's when they get triggered. And that is exactly what's happening. People are just getting triggered. So for various reasons. So it's I think that's why it's such a difficult conversation to have. Because you can walk into a room full of people and, you know, there won't be any sort of strong emotion about anything. And yet there could be when people get triggered. So, and then people don't want to look at what the reality is. I mean, there are people that say the Holocaust didn't happen. What are you going to do about that? I mean, 6 million people. Or people don't want to look at how the Native Americans were decimated. 90 million of them, in fact. And people say, oh, no, it's not that many. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So, I mean, it's not until it literally, like, it affects them. And that's why I believe that's why it's so difficult to have conversations. Because people will take a position because they're not either directly affected by it or, you know, they don't want to believe that they're directly affected by it. So it's really a tough place. And then, you know, you could be, like you were talking about, you could be saying something so, you know, relevant to the situation and somebody will be so inflamed by it. And it's like, but wait, this is what's happening. You know, I didn't cause this. Don't be upset at me. I think that's why we can't get clarity around things.
Right. Well, you bridge two very important issues, I think. The one is, A, that we get triggered, not just you and me. Everyone has a propensity to be triggered. And if we're not mindful, A, that we have a capacity to be triggered, or B, that we are triggered, we could fall into the slump of right and wrong, good and bad, you know, dualistic thinking. And when we hunker down in a position that I'm right and you're wrong, then we stop being open quite often to hearing the other person and to engaging, you know, in a constructive manner, which is a part of the challenge. And we keep saying that over and over again. Making a difference in the world can occur by engaging in socially and politically constructive ways, right? Voting, social discourse. And I think calling out and encouraging others and expecting them to do the same. But when we're triggered and focus on the emotionality, we stop really being present to that higher level calling of, you know, being socially and politically constructive, and we can start becoming destructive when we begin to blame one another and not take personal responsibility for who we're being in the matter. And so we have a little less than 2 minutes left. I thank you for this conversation, Raj.
Thank you, Carlotta. I think we brought out some important points here.
We've had a number of conversations over the last year about the need for healing and to be peaceful. And I think that now, certainly going into this election season, it's really important to remember the need to be peaceful within ourselves and to not allow what's happening in the world, you know, being in the world and not being of the world, not allowing ourselves to be triggered so that we become angry and bitter and frustrated by what's happening. So maintaining our own, practicing restraint from harming ourselves and others, committing to being nonviolent in who we are, and then developing our awareness and being mindful so that when situations come up, we're not triggered to emotionality and can maintain our peace between our balance between our emotions and our rational thinking cells will help further us along in that journey. Thank you for joining us on Living Life Powerfully. Raj and I have enjoyed having a conversation with our listeners. Feel free to email us if you'd like at prorajradio@gmail.com. And in between now and our next session with you, have a fantastic and an amazing week.
And a peaceful one.